Good morning. My name is Pamela, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Omex Second Quarter 2010 Earnings Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Tania Fuego, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Omex Second Quarter 2010 Earnings Call. Before we start, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call about future events and financial results constitute forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties. Discussion of factors that may affect future results are contained in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We undertake no obligation to correct or update any forward-looking statement provided as a result of new information, future events, or even changes in our expectations. On the call with me today are Gerardo de Nicolás, Omex Chief Executive Officer, and Carlos Moctezuma, our Chief Financial Officer. Gerardo will begin today's call by giving us a brief overview on the company's results for the second quarter of 2010, while explaining our main initiatives taken during the quarter. Following Gerardo's discussion, Carlos will explain in further detail our quarterly financial results and trends. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo.
Thank you, Tania, and good morning, everyone. Before we start discussing our second quarter results and strategies for the remainder of the year, I want to thank all of those who joined us during our Omex Day in New York on May 24th. It was a great pleasure for me to once again showcase our divisional management team and to provide for an in-depth discussion of plans and growth strategies in each of our divisions, including Mexico, Omex Tourism, and our international operations. I was pleased as well with the interest shown by attendees through their many insightful questions and the active dialogue that followed. I would like to reiterate that for us, it's very important and productive to maintain a close and clear line of communication with our shareholders and financial analysts, and we will continue to work to maintain this close relationship with all of you. For those who were not able to attend, we miss you and welcome you to visit us. Turning to our quarterly results, our results were in line, as it was also the case during the first quarter of 2010, with our yearly guidance for 2010 of 12%-14% revenue growth and EBITDA margin of 21%-22%. We are very pleased with this performance and excited about the opportunities ahead. During the quarter, we surpassed our yearly guidance objective by delivering revenue growth of 15.7% to 4.8 billion pesos. These positive results are a reflection of our adequate product mix, which follows demand dynamics and mortgage market value trends at the same time that is aligned to the needs and preferences of our customers. Our quarterly revenue growth was mainly driven by an outstanding performance in delivering title units to lower-income families, our core business, a sector where we registered 21.9% revenue growth at an average price of 351,000 pesos. We continue to build our reputation as home builder of choice in this sector based on third-party market research, which shows growing recognition of Omex quality product offerings and service excellence. Our results also reflect the effectiveness of our strategy to attend the most profitable segments within our sector. With a product offering that is affordable for families who earn between 2 to 11 times minimum wages, they reflect as well our improved collection process within Fonavit, where on an accumulated basis, as of June 30th, 2010, our collected units grew by 25% when compared to the same period last year. In line with our strategy to reduce our exposure to the middle-income market or homes affordable to families with a monthly income above 11 times the minimum wage. Our revenues for that segment understandably decreased by 30.6% to 530 million pesos or 580 units from 763 million pesos or 877 units during the second quarter of 2009. Reflecting our focus on following the mortgage market's value trends and demand dynamics, as well as our flexibility and capacity to grab market share from unattended niches, including the more profitable segments within a product offering intended for low-income families, our average price for all homes titled was 378,000 pesos, an increase of 8.6% when compared to the second quarter of 2009. That breaks down to an average price increase of 14.6% in our product offering for families with a monthly income between 2 to 11 times minimum wage, and an increase of 5% in our product offering for families with a monthly income above 11 times minimum wage. Here it's important to note that our average price for higher priced homes on a quarterly basis declined by 10.2%. Since during the first quarter of the year, we were able to title the majority of the homes linked to a FOVISSSTE mortgage with price points above 500,000 pesos. Furthermore, during the second quarter, we continued to effectively title a portion of those units. Thus, we expect a further reduction in our average price for the remainder of the year in our higher-priced units. As a result of our strong focus and expertise in lower-value homes, Infonavit and FOVISSSTE logically continue to be the main source of financing for our customers. In the second quarter, Infonavit mortgages financed 60% of our customers, and FOVISSSTE provides for another 27%, totaling 87% of all homes titled. It's important to mention that despite the fact of a lower formalization rhythm from FOVISSSTE during the first months of the year, we have not experienced delays in our collection process with the Institute. The remaining mortgages were granted through commercial banks and other state housing funds. We remain confident in the continued availability of mortgage financing for our clients, especially through these two mortgage dedicated funds. As we share with you in detail at our Homex Day, we have a five-pronged marketing strategy exposing and promoting our quality and affordable home portfolio to prospective customers. These include our Superstar Closer program, our business-to-business promotional program, our call center activities, our customer referrals program, and more recently, our large group promotional presentations, where initial results has been very effective, showing a closing efficiency rate averaging 39%. In addition, we have also started a new program with BBVA Bancomer to serve the informal segment, a very attractive market in Mexico, as approximately half of the economic active population in the country has an informal job. Through this program, Homex prospective clients sign a voluntary savings contract with BBVA Bancomer, and after building up a credit history over a 6 to 12 month period, prospective buyers will be entitled to a mortgage according to the bank's origination criteria. This program complements the recently launched initiative by Infonavit, Infonavit para Todos, to allow the informal employees to be formal subscribers of the Institute, where employees in the informal sector have the opportunity to build up a housing saving account. Importantly, Infonavit has estimated that its potential demand will increase to 6.6 million people, a 25% increase compared to its actual potential demand, thus increasing potential demand for home builders. So you can see why we're excited about continued growth opportunities in our Mexico division. And equally pleased to report on the excellent progress we have made in Brazil, our first meaningful international venture. Regarding our first project in San José dos Campos, we have learned a lot about the Brazilian market and continued to execute our sales and construction operations. During the quarter, we registered our first collection for the year through Caixa's partiality payment process from our Jardim das Parneiras project. some 49 million pesos in revenue stream in the quarter. This achievement gives us the confidence to continue to pursue opportunities in Brazil to replicate our business model, as we are effectively doing at our second project at Marília, which will consist of approximately 1,700 homes for low-income families, or 851 million pesos in revenues. As you may recall, during the last conference call, we shared with you that we have signed a memorandum of understanding with Curabancara, an Indian company with 35 years of experience in the home building industry, to establish the rules for a non-exclusive joint venture to undertake projects for low-income families in India. As of today, the joint venture agreement has not yet been finalized, and we are working closely with Curabancara to finalize the JV during the coming months. In addition, during the second quarter of 2010, we effectively completed the sale of our investment in Egypt with Oratcom Housing Communities to a third party for $4.3 million, registering a net gain of $857,000. As an update to our tourist division, I am pleased to share with you that as a part of our growth strategy for the division, during the second week of July, we closed an important transaction to acquire a real estate development in Loreto, in the state of Baja California Sur, Mexico. For those of you not familiar with this area, Loreto is approximately 600 kilometers north of Los Cabos, and it's a privileged location with an amazing landscape, also well known for its sports fishing. Loreto is an opportunity for Homex to develop a unique and attractive tourist location, with a reasonable pricing averaging $250,000 per home. We expect that this project will be very attractive to both national and foreign prospective buyers. I should also take this opportunity to report on the untimely recent events at Nuevo León and Coahuila, where many families were affected by Hurricane Alex. Our developments in these regions were not structurally damaged, and to date, only one of three of our developments in Monterrey has been affected at all, as some connecting roads have not yet been restored, making access to the development somewhat restricted. Overall, we have only experienced a marginal impact in our sales. Nonetheless, we did have delays in our construction process as a result of logistic problems as well as weather conditions. We expect these delays to be compensated through the year. I will now turn the call over to Carlos, who will discuss our financial results in detail. And then I will return with some final words.
Thank you, Gerardo, and thank you all for joining us this morning. Before commenting on our second quarter 2010 results, I would like to remind you once again that effective January 1st, 2010, and pursuant to the NIF 14 rule, we are recognizing our revenues, costs, and expenses when the company has effectively transferred control to the home buyer. Therefore, homes under construction are now considered as inventory until they are titled. Accordingly, second quarter 2009 figures are presented as adjusted by this NIF 14 to be comparable with second quarter 2010 figures. As an additional reminder, and pursuant to the application of the Mexican Financial Reporting Standard D6, we are now required to capitalize comprehensive financing costs, which includes interest expense, as well as exchange loss or gain in relation to the translation of our U.S. dollar-denominated debt into Mexican pesos, and the monetary position. For your convenience, I will discuss our gross profit and operating income adjusted for the capitalization of comprehensive financing costs. As Gerardo already commented, during the quarter we were ahead of our yearly revenue guidance, registering a quarterly revenue growth of 15.7%. benefiting from a continued and outstanding growth of 21.9% in our title homes for families who earn between 2 to 11 times the minimum wage. Our quarterly revenue growth reaffirms the effectiveness of our strategies to realign our product offering to serve unattended markets, at the same time demonstrating our flexibility to move within different product offerings to serve low-income families, where our sales expertise and construction technology can be broadly applied. At the same time, during the quarter, our revenue growth was boosted by the recognition of 171 million pesos from revenues in relation to building services contracts, with the Mexican federal government. Homes titled in the segment of 2 to 11 times the minimum wage represented 88.6% of the total housing revenue, compared to 81.6% during the same period of last year, while homes titled in the segment of above 11 times the minimum wage represented 11.4% compared to a contribution of 18.4% during the second quarter of 2009. Our product mix is in line with our strategy to focus on lower value homes, which are typically financed through Infonavit and Foviste, that is either fully financed or through co-financing products, primarily with banks. Our gross margin for the quarter was 32.8% compared to 33.8% during the second quarter of 2009, mainly driven by lower margins at our international division, a lower contribution of higher priced title homes, and building services contracts with Mexico's federal government, which have a lower margin but at the same time offer lower execution risk and represents an attractive opportunity for us to apply our core competencies and construction technology to gain additional revenue. It is important to note that on a quarterly basis, our gross margin remained unchanged despite the lower contribution of higher price homes during the second quarter of 2010. Selling, general, and administrative expenses as a percentage of total revenue increased to 14.4% during the second quarter of 2010 compared to 13.6% during the second quarter of 2009. This increase mainly reflects the strategic addition of personnel in our international and tourism divisions, as revenue contributions from those divisions have not yet offset the additional expense. At our Mexico division, we have continued to generate efficiencies from our decision not to open additional projects and expand into new cities, as well as the more efficient marketing and sales strategies that Gerardo already discussed. During the quarter, our EBITDA rose to 1,060 million pesos, a 9.1% increase from the 972 million of the second quarter of 2009. EBITDA margin was 22% and in line with our target of 21 to 22% for the year. Net comprehensive financing costs during the second quarter of 2010 was 62.4 million compared to a positive balance of 8.3 million during the second quarter of 2009. The higher cost of financing during the second quarter of 2010 mainly reflects higher commissions paid to Infonavit and Foviste in relation to title units. We also recognize a foreign exchange gain of 25.3 million pesos during the second quarter of 2009 compared to a foreign exchange loss of 882,000 pesos during the recent quarter, not including the foreign exchange loss of 43 million pesos recognized into cost of goods sold pursuant to Bulletin D6. Net income for the second quarter of 2010 was 431 million pesos compared to 526 million in the same period of 2009. The lower result during the second quarter of 2010 is driven by the SG&A increase, as previously explained, the recognition of FX loss compared to FX gain during the same period last year, as well as from a higher effective tax rate, which increased from 29.4% during the second quarter of 2009 to 40.5% during the second quarter of 2010. The higher effective tax rate derives from a tax strategy that we implemented during 2009, where we expect to recover approximately 249 million pesos related to taxes over the next few years. Turning now to the balance sheet. Consistent with our strategy to improve our working capital cycle and align collections to investments, during the first 6 months of the year, and according to plan, we have not invested in land. At the same time, during the first half, we have maintained our capital expenditures on target to our yearly budget of 200 to 300 million pesos at 118 million. As of June 30, 2010, our total debt remain unchanged at 10.6 billion pesos when compared to the first quarter of 2010. As of June 30, short-term liabilities represented 4.6% of our total outstanding debt. Our total inventory as of June 30 decreased 23 days to 677 days compared to 700 days as of March 31, 2010, mainly as a result of our proactive decision to reduce land inventory by following a land replacement only strategy. In line with this, during the quarter we did not execute land investments from our budget to approximately 900 million pesos for the year. On a sequential basis, accounts receivable increased 5 days to 22 days from 17 days as of March 2010. as a result of a longer collection process during the second quarter of 2010. It is worth mentioning that a portion of these receivables during the quarter is related to the building services contracts with the Mexican government. Nonetheless, we feel comfortable with our achieved level of 22 days, which is in line with our historical collection process. Sequentially, accounts payable decreased 13 days from 117 days as of first quarter 2010, mainly as a result of lower land purchases, where land payables decreased to 26 days from 40 days during the first quarter of 2010. Importantly, accounts payable related to material suppliers improved 1 day to 78 days as a result of a proactive strategy to emphasize work with materials and goods producers who have a stronger financial position than local suppliers or distributors. As a result of a proactive strategy to align collections to investments, thus following a conservative investment policy, as well as from solid revenue growth during the second quarter of 2010, quarterly free cash flow generation resulted in a positive balance of 181 million pesos. Overall, as reflected in our quarterly results and 6 months accumulated results, we are confident that we are on the right track to continue to grow our operations, at the same time that we will continue to work to speed up the construction process to positively impact our working capital cycle and construction capacity. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo for some final remarks.
Thank you, Carlos. As Carlos and I have stressed during this call, we are satisfied with our results, as our quarterly and 6 months accumulated positive results demonstrate that we have made the right decisions to achieve profitable and sustainable growth while gaining market share at unattended niches, improving our collections within Fonavit, and following a conservative investment policy. At the same time, we have continued working to improve construction efficiencies to shorten the edification process by standardizing our prototypes, increasing the use of our aluminum mold technology, increasing the effective working hours at each home, improving material logistics delivery to further streamline working hours, and continuing to apply our modular building concept to reduce the number of project phases to obtain a more efficient working capital structure. As we have mentioned in the past, we expect synergies resultant from these strategies to be gradually reflected through the second half of the year. Furthermore, and as evidenced by our results, we are a company with flexibility to adapt to changing dynamics and opportunistic conditions the housing market provides us, not only in Mexico but abroad. We will continue to concentrate on our core market here in Mexico and prudently continue to evaluate market opportunities in other underserved markets, compatible with our business model. Once again, in the name of everyone who works at Homex, I want to thank you all for your continued support and confidence in us. Be assured that we will continue working to be the home builder of choice for our customers and to increase our market share while we generate efficiencies to improve our working capital cycle, reduce expenses, and generate a higher return on invested capital. Thank you for your attention. We will now answer any questions you may have.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad, and we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Ivan Barona with GBM.
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's Gerardo, Carlos, Vania. Congratulations on your results. My question is regarding your other revenues. You mentioned on your press release that they are related to some contracts with Mexico's federal government. I would like to get a little bit more of color on these operations and what would be your expectations on this bracket going forward, as well as you have any information regarding the margins and the collection cycle on these projects.
Hi, Ivan. Thank you very much. Regarding the other revenues, as we said previously, it's a contract with the federal government. For the full year, we expect revenues from this source to be in the range of 400 million pesos. That will represent around 2% of our revenues. We cannot disclose more detail on the contract, but it's a contract related to housing for the federal government, and we are having a very good experience in terms of the contract process, the execution, and the collection. The collection is slightly different from the regular home building activities, but it has been a very fast and smooth process. In terms of the margins are lower compared with the regular HOMEX activities, but we believe that this is an additional source of revenue, and it's not requiring additional capital from HOMEX, and we are like maximizing our core competencies in terms of our construction capacity, the construction management technology, et cetera, to be able to deliver on these contracts. For, as I said before, for the full year, we are expecting to finish this contract for 400 million pesos, and we believe that we will be able to maintain this volume for the next year, too. I don't know if it's clear, Ivan.
Yes, that was pretty much it. It is just one contract you have already signed with the government, and you'll be planning on executing more going forward?
Yes, it's mainly one contract, and maybe we will be signing more for the next year in this range. As I said before, it will be around 2% of our revenues for this year, and we expect the same contribution for the next year, too.
All right. And, well, another question, if I may, regarding your land acquisitions for the year, you were aiming to spend roughly some 900 million pesos, I guess. And would this amount already include the payment of the land in Loreto that you have done in the past weeks?
Thank you, Ivan. This is Carlos. Yes, as you mentioned, we have a budget of acquiring about 900 million pesos throughout the year. And within that budget, it is included the Loreto land acquisition that we just made in July.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivan.
Your next question comes from the line of Esteban Polidura with Deutsche Bank.
Good morning to everyone. This is Sven Kuhn on behalf of Esteban Polidura. First of all, congratulations to your results. And we have three questions. The first one would be if you could explain the strategies that you are following to increase both unit sales and average prices in the affordable entry-level segment. And the second question would be, we saw material improvement in inventory turnover this quarter, and I was wondering if we can expect days of inventories to continue coming down during the rest of the year. The third question would be, what segment are you directing your projects in Brazil? Because Caixa Econômica has three segments from 0 to 3, and from 3 to 6, and 6 to 10 minimum wages. That's all.
Thank you, Ben. In terms of the strategies that we are following, we are happy with the results on the significant increase on the contribution of affordability in homes. We have grown our market share, or the number of home titles in affordability, in 25% compared with 1 year ago. We are the public company that is growing faster. And the most important strategies that we mentioned previously are five. One is the Superstar Closer program, that we have today 1,300 closers nationwide, and the program to improve their efficiencies is the most important one. And we are following our four strategies. One is a strategy with
what we call business-to-business, to sell homes through the human resources department of big companies in Mexico. The call center activities that we have been mentioning in previous calls and today, the call center sales are in the range of 10% of our total sales. The fourth program that is very important is the referrals program. And for us, it's very important because we have satisfied customers. They are referring new customers to us. And that's, for us, that's a great recognition. And the fifth one and the most recent is the massive presentation program, where we are having very good results in terms of the conversion rate. We are, on average, selling to homes to around 40% of the participants in this massive presentation. We are following these five strategies, and we are showing that we are selling more without increasing our marketing expenses, even reducing the marketing expenses. In terms of the average price in affordable, today the average price in affordable is 351,000 pesos, and we believe that for the remainder of the year, the price will be stable. If you compare our average price with 1 or 2 years ago, we have had an increase in the average price in affordable, and this is a consequence of our strategy to attend some underserved niches that are more profitable that were abandoned by the small home builders in many regions in Mexico. But for the future, for the next at least 2 quarters, for the rest of the year, we are planning to maintain the average price in affordable entry level in the range of 351,000 pesos.
Sure.
Carlos will talk to you about the inventory initiatives.
Hi, Ben. How are you? What about the working capital improvements? Working capital improvements will continue to be the focus of the Comex management throughout the year. I think we have already shown some signs of improvement during these first 6 months. We will continue to reduce the number of prototypes and consolidate our operations, increase the effective hours of our workers in each single home that we are building. So I think it's also the use of the malls. The fact that we are not opening new cities in Mexico during the year will also play a part. And definitely we will continue to have a more efficient alignment of our investments to our collections. And all that, we believe it is going to be reflected in our results on the second half and further improvements in our working capital cycle as a whole.
Okay.
In terms of your third question, in Brazil, our average price is in the range of 80,000 reals. We're in the segment of 3 to 6 minimum wages. We have seen some improvements in the Caixa Econômica Federal collection process and some adjustments on the Minha Casa, Minha Vida program that we believe that will increase the opportunities for us in Brazil. We believe that we are in an adequate price range. We have the experience in Mexico to be profitable in that segment, and we believe that that will be the largest market in Brazil in the long term.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Your next question comes from the line of Leonardo Zambolin with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning, everyone. A couple questions. The first one is, could you please give us more color on why did minority interest increase? And the second question is regarding the effective tax rate. Is this something non-recurring? Should we see at the 40% levels going forward? And when should we expect to see this portion that you mentioned earlier in the call coming back to the company? Thank you.
Thank you, Leonardo. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your first question. Could you repeat that to me, please?
Sure. It's related to the minority interest in the company that we saw. It came a little bit higher than we thought in this quarter. So I was wondering if you can give us more color on why did this number was a little bit higher.
Yes. Well, the minority interest of in the financials are related to the only two projects we have with partnerships in Mexico. That number changes or varies according to the performance of those two particular projects. So we expect to have basically a similar number of what we have accumulated in the first 6 months of the year going forward, at least for this year. In terms of the taxes, which is your second question, yes, effectively our tax rate went up to 40.5%. This has to do with the tax strategy of 2009 that we implemented and through which we expect to have a tax recovery of approximately 249 million pesos. And accordingly, we made a provision, a tax provision of such amount in the was recorded during the quarter. So that's the main reason why the tax rate went up in our P&L. This does not affect our cash taxes. It's still a provision. We still estimate our cash taxes to be in the range of 18 to 20% for the year. And we explained about the tax strategy and the provision in further detail in our note 23 of our financial statements for 2009 that you can find on 20F if you deem necessary.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Leonardo.
Your next question comes from the line of Talisa Hallelujah with Credit Suisse.
Good morning. Thanks for answering my question. First one is, what? I'm not sure I heard well. Did you reaffirm your guidance of $2 billion of free cash flow for this year? Second question is, you mentioned that revenues expected for the second project in Brazil and Marília are 851 million pesos. Can you compare that with the first project, and is that going to come in this year or next year? And the third question is, you mentioned growing Infonavit volumes, and what's your market share as of the end of the second quarter with the institution? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thais. Regarding the free cash flow, we expect that the second half will show further improvements in our working capital cycle along with the seasonality that we all in the home building industry are subject to, that give us confidence that by the end of the year the company will achieve a positive free cash flow, which let me go to the second part of the question. Our yearly guidance is based in revenue and EBITDA margin. As you know, we posted an expectation of 12 to 14% growth in EBITDA. In revenue with a 22% EBITDA margin, which we are complying with. So that's regarding to the guidance. In terms of Infonavit, you are right. We have been able to increase our participation within the fund. Right now, our current market share with Infonavit, according to the mortgages that they have paid to the company, is 5.6%. That has been consistently growing throughout this year, and that we believe is a reflection of our strategy to realign our product offering towards the segments where we find more opportunities to attend or less attended throughout the country.
Thank you, Thais. Relating to your question in Brazil, the number of homes in the first project is 1,300, and the revenues is in the range of 740 million pesos for the first project. In this second project, it's 1,700 homes, and the total revenue will be in the range of 851 million pesos for this second project in Marília. And it's we can say that it's similar in size. It's lower price because the economic activity in the region is slightly different. But we believe that we are addressing the same market.
Okay. And the CapEx related for this project is going to be spent this year, or you're already starting?
You mean the capital expenditure for Marília? Yes.
Yes.
The land investments were remade. We are working in the work in progress, moving land, etc. And the edification will come throughout, I mean, according to sales. So it's very likely that it won't be everything invested during this year.
Okay. So, and then as far as my first question, the cash flow guidance is positive, right? You believe you're going to hit your revenue growth and margin guidance, and then for free cash flow, you will have it positive for the year. Is that correct?
That is a fair assessment, yes.
Thank you so much, Carlos.
Thank you, Chase.
Your next question comes from the line of Pablo Ramos with Armada Capital.
Morning, Gerardo, Carlos, and Manuel, Rafael Huerva. My first question is on taxes. You already talked about the increase in the effective tax rate, but could you talk about the increase that we saw on the balance sheet in the short-term taxes payable? I believe it was like $560 million increase there. What should we expect to have an impact on the income statement?
Thank you, Rafael. Yes, exactly. The increase in the tax rate short-term payable is exactly related to the same thing. It's the provision of the taxes that is following the strategy that we followed in 2009. That is adjusted in this quarter. That provision will remain until we were able to recover the 250 million or to the close to 250 million pesos out of that strategy. And that will continue to be reflected in the balance sheet going forward during this year.
So that shouldn't convert into cash taxes, right?
I'm sorry?
So that won't be converted into cash taxes in the income statement. You expect it to continue on the balance sheet?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Then second question, I saw a mismatch between the income statements between your Spanish and your English press releases on the capitalization of financial costs. On the English version, you show $394 million for the quarter, and on the Spanish version, you show $98 million. I believe the Spanish version is correct, but I wanted to check it.
Yes, it's 98, actually. We will correct the mismatch. Thank you.
Okay, so it is 98. Okay, and finally, you continue showing a slight difference between the number of homes titled with Infonavit, the numbers that Infonavit releases, and what you show as collected. I mean, the difference is small, but you still can show this. When do you expect this to reverse?
No, Rafa, the difference between the numbers is because the numbers that Infonavit reports are mortgages that were actually paid down to the company, and we report mortgages that is either paid or in the process to be, in the final process to be collected. This is titled homes just waiting for the final collection for Infonavit. In this quarter, the difference is a little less than 15% of volumes. We believe that number will continue to be constant throughout the operations just because the way we report. No? We report the according to the NIF 14 rule, we will report homes when we transfer the title, and that's not necessarily matching the date of payment from Infonavit for a few days. If you can, and you can see the balance of both numbers in our receivables, it's increased, included as part of our receivables.
And when you slow down the growth, probably you will be collecting faster than what you're titling, and this should be reversed?
We believe that we always are going to have homes that are titled in the process of being paid by Infonavit. That number will remain even if we reduce or increase our growth rate, because it's an ongoing process that every day we are titling and collecting homes. No?
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Rafa.
Your next question comes from the line of Marimar Torreblanca with UBS.
Hi, thank you. My questions have been answered.
Thank you, Manuel.
Your next question comes from the line of Herbert Longhurst with Citi.
Yes. Congratulations on the results. I have two questions, actually. The first is regarding the increase in the effective tax rate. I'm looking at Note 23F, and I can read here, but if you could explain, maybe help expand, clarify a little bit how the increased tax provision helps to recover these other $249 million related taxes. The second question is related to the longer collection process. What exactly caused it? Is this expected to be ongoing? Is this a one-off, temporary, or is this going to be ongoing? Thank you.
Thank you, Herbert. Let me try to clarify a little bit. We followed a tax strategy back in 2009 that creates the possibility for us to recover $250 million of taxes out of that strategy of 2009 in the following quarters. That could be one or four or more, depending to the authority. The fact that we are that we're implementing that tax strategy, and we have no 100% assurance that we will collect those $250 million, implies for us, according to the MFRS, that we need to provision to make a provision of that, even though we are fairly confident that we will succeed. We need to book that provision. That's why it's related to that. And that's why it's not affecting cash taxes.
Okay.
In terms of the longer collection process, as you mentioned, we have a five-day difference between the first quarter and the second quarter, and a good portion of that is related to the projects, the contracts we have with the federal government, which has a different cycle from the regular business that we have. Again, as Gerardo mentioned, it's an opportunity for us to continue to tap on our expertise and our competencies within the country, and also have a very low risk of execution since we're dealing with the federal government in Mexico. So that's something we believe is going to maintain the range of it's going to be a part of the receivables going forward in that particular range.
Okay. So the provision itself isn't part of, the provision is because the strategy is uncertain. It's not that through the provision. Oh, I got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Herbert.
Your next question comes from the line of Tara Shomda with American Investment.
Hi, how are you? Wanted to go back to the pricing on the houses you're selling. Can you give us a little more granularity, maybe, on how you're able to either increase prices or find segments that are slightly more attractive pricing-wise? And I'm asking because previously I was under an impression that InfoVista and Fanavit pretty much would not allow builders to increase prices. So maybe if you could give us a little bit more color on how this dynamic is working and what do you think it will be going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We are not talking about the same homes that are being sold at a higher price. We are talking about the mix, and we have been able to increase the average price because we are selling homes in price ranges that were attended by small home builders, and as more than 40% of them has been out of the business, now we can offer homes in those ranges. It's inside the affordable entry-level market with Infonavit and Foviste mortgages, but we are not concentrating our efforts in economic housing. We are offering homes in segments that are, we can say, in the higher range of the affordable entry level. Segments, as I said before, that were served by small home builders that, because of the credit, actual credit conditions in Mexico, they have been getting out of the business. Then we're not talking about the same homes. If we talk about the same homes, maybe the price has been increasing similarly to inflation, around 5% per year.
Okay. Okay, and then, I'm sorry, am I interrupting you?
Oh,
sorry, okay. So you're on. Then, if I could ask a follow-up question. So let's say the mix. Am I correct in understanding that even within the affordable segment, there are some houses that are priced slightly higher or slightly lower? And if so, how do you direct customers to the slightly higher price? Is this simply a matter of salesmanship, or are there any other factors that we need to be aware about?
Yeah. The most important factor is the credit capacity of every Infonavit or Fovite worker, and the credit capacity is determined by their age, their actual salary, and the savings on their savings account for housing in either Infonavit or Fovite. We can have the credit capacity of every prospective customer instantly, and depending on their credit capacity, we can offer the adequate home for them.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Your next question comes from the line of Marcelo Mota with J.P. Morgan.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. I mean, my first question is regarding your full-year guidance for revenues growth. I mean, over the last two quarters, we saw revenues growing above guidance, so I'm just wondering if for the next quarters we should see revenues slowing down a little bit and growing below guidance, or if is there any chance that guidance might be revised and upwards?
Thank you, Marcelo. We are currently comfortable with the guidance we provided between 12 to 14%. We will continue to work toward improving our performance. This full year, if you account for the first 6 months of the year accumulated, our growth is in the range of 14.2%, which is above the guidance, but still closer to the higher part of it. So we will continue to have that guidance for at least for this moment.
Okay, and just another question now regarding your guidance for margins. Margins were a little bit weaker this quarter versus first quarter, given a higher participation of government projects and also higher revenues from international division. Should we expect margins to continue decreasing a little bit over the next quarters, or I mean they are already at a comfortable level?
Yes, Marcelo. The margins we're witnessing again accumulated for the 6 months. We think we're comfortable with the range we have. We are posting an EBITDA margin of 22%, which is within our guidance for the year. We're also posting an SG&A that is acceptable less than 14%. So the answer is for the remaining of the year, we believe we will continue to have this type of margins that we are posting as an accumulated basis. You have to bear in mind that we are growing in the Mexico market higher than the market average. We have been able to attend markets that we believe are unattended by other players, and then we have the benefits of a higher average price, etc. And on top of that, we're being able to invest in the future of COMEX in endeavors like our international expansion or to tap on our competencies and in endeavors like the our participation with the Mexican federal government. So I think that those businesses will come to reflect the revenues that they should have or the participation of revenues that they should have in the company in the coming future, and that will improve even further the margin structure of the P&L of the holding.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcelo.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And there are no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much for attending the call. As always, we will be available for you on the usual numbers, and a replay of the call will be available in about 30 minutes through our website, as well as on the replay numbers that you have on the conference call information that we sent out yesterday. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.